This week's parsha is Parshas Sazria, and we'll start with chapter 13, verse number 2. The verse says, Adam, a man, ki ye boer besaroi, that is going to have on the skin of his flesh, seiz oisapachas oivaheres, haseiz sapachas oivaheres, which are different types of blemishes that are called negoim. Then the verse continues, vehoyo, and it will be boer besaroi, in the flesh of his skin, la nega tzoras, for a nega of the tzoras affliction, vuvu ala har hakoyen, he should be brought to har hakoyen, o yolechot mi bonav hakohanim, or to one of his children who are kohanim. Vero hakoyen sam nega boer abosor, and the kohen should see this blemish in the skin of his flesh, veseyor ba nega hofach lavon, and the hair in that blemish turned to be white, imare ha nega Omoik me'or besaroi, and the affliction's appearance is deeper than the flesh of his skin. Nega tzorasi, that is called a tzoras. Ve'ra'u ha'koyen, the koyen should see him. Ve'time o'isoi, and the koyen should proclaim him impure. The first question that we are going to ask is that the verse says, Adam kiye bo'er besaroi seo sapachazot ba'eres, ve'hoyo bo'er besaroi nega tzoras. It will be in the flesh of his skin for a tzoras affliction. We know that there is two languages that the Torah uses. One is to denote tzoras, problems, and the other one is to denote simcha, happiness. When it's written the word vayehi, the Gemara says that's a loshon tzar, a language of pain. And when it's written the word vehoyo, that is a loshon simcha, a language of happiness. And Mefarshim explained that since the word vehoyo has the letters Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is the name of Hashem. Every time Hashem's name is proclaimed, that is a Loshon Simcha, a language of happiness. Then why here, when this person is afflicted with a tzoras, it's written, V'hoyo bo'er besaroi le'nega tzoras. It will be in the flesh for a tzoras. It should have written, V'hi bo'er besaroi le'nega tzoras. Since it's not a Simcha, it's not a happiness that he has this tzoras, because he's going to have to follow now all this regimen that's prescribed how to purify himself, then why is it written the language Vehoyo? The Torah should have written this with a language Vayahi. And another question that is very peculiar in regards to the Tzoras is that the Kohen has to see the Tzoras, and when Mareyo Omek Minaor, and if the appearance of the Tzoras, of this affliction, is deeper than the skin, then the Kohen locks him up and he's definitely a Metzoreh. But if it is not deeper than the skin, then we lock him up for 7 days to see if the affliction expands and becomes deeper than the skin. So we see from here that what's important is that the affliction is deeper than the skin or not. Why is this an important factor? What is the symbolism of this affliction being deeper than the skin? And another thing is that the punishment for a metzoreh is what is written later on in chapter 13, verse number 45, that bodot yeshev michutz lamachane moishavoi, that he should sit alone and he should sit by himself outside the encampment. Why is it specifically that this is the punishment that we give for a metzoreh, that he should sit alone outside the encampment? In truth, the Gemara in Erchin Daf Tazayin Amud Beis 16b asks this question. The Gemara there says, "Boy minei Reb Shmuel Bar Nadav Merab Chanina." Some say Reb Shmuel Bar Nadav asks a question to Reb Chanina. Others say that Reb Shmuel Bar Nadav chasned Reb Chanina, the son of Chanina, asks Reb Chanina, and some say that he asked Reb Shua Ben Levi. The question was, "Manish Tana Metzoyre Shomer Toyre." Why is the metzora different, somebody who has this affliction, different from any other person who is contaminated, that he has to be alone outside the encampment? And the Gemara answers, who ifdil ben ish leishtoi, he separated between a man and a wife, ben ish lereyu, and between a man and his fellow, because one of the main reasons that a person becomes a metzora is because this person spoke lashon hara, he spoke derogatory remarks on another, that caused the person whom he spoke on to be separate from his wife and to be separate from his friends. Therefore, the Torah tells them as a punishment, Badot Yeshev Michus Lamachne Moishavoy. That he should sit alone outside the encampment, should be his place of dwelling. But we are going to try to give another reason why Hashem wants the Metzorah to be alone. Sefer Shemin Rosh answers, based on the Gemara in Erchin Daf Tes Zayin Omet Aleph 16a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rab Shmuel Ben Achmani, Omar Rab Yoichnen, or Omar Rab Yoinesen. Al Shiva Dvarim Negoim Boim, because of seven things you get this Tzoras affliction. Al Loshen Hara, because you speak derogatory remarks. Al Shvichas Damim, because of the sin that of murder. Val Shvua Shav, because you swore falsely. Val Gilia Royes, because of illicit relations. Val Gasa Zoriach, because of haughtiness. Val Gezel, because of theft. Val Tzoras Oayin, and because of stinginess. Meaning that if you get this affliction, is a sign that you transgress somewhat in those crimes. And the Gemara there brings proof that the afflictions came for people who had these qualities. And the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei Omed Aleph 5a, also writes down that sometimes Hashem gives punishment for a people and gives pains for a people, but they are Yesurim Shalahava, pains out of love. And there are many interpretations what it means, pains out of love. And I'll just quote two interpretations. The interpretation of the Ramban, where the Ramban says that afflictions out of love atone for something you did inadvertently, or certain Mefarshim explain, for something you did even before you knew that is prohibited, or something you transgressed and you did wrong and you never find out that you did wrong. For example, if you ate non-kosher food and you're never going to find out you ate non-kosher food, and nobody will tell you you ate non-kosher food, nonetheless, you ate that non-kosher food, even though technically you are not guilty for this crime, nonetheless, your soul is tainted. And I always give the example of a kiddush, where you have cream cakes in the front row, and you have some food in the back row, and you reach out to get the food in the back, and you become dirty and soiled by the cream cakes, you may not know that you are soiled, but nonetheless, you are dirty. The same thing happens to your soul, even though you didn't know this was a transgression, and you didn't have any intent to do it, nonetheless, your soul became tainted, and Hashem wants you to have a very clean soul in heaven, the world to come. Therefore, Hashem would give you certain pains in order to atone for that crime, in order for you to have a clean soul. That is Yisurim Shalahava, according to the Ramban. And according to Rav Kook in Sefer Ayin Ayah, Yisurim Shalahava, pains out of love, is a different thing altogether. He explains that a person always has a conflict between his physical and his spiritual. They always are against each other. His physical wants physicality, and the spiritual wants spirituality. So a person is able to get to a high plateau, to a high level in his fight with his physicality, but nonetheless this person is stagnant, this person is not moving forward, he's comfortable where it is, and he's not going up in levels. Therefore, in order to propel him to go higher, Hashem would send physical pains to him. Like that, his physicality becomes degraded. Once his physicality becomes degraded, then his spirituality could soar. According to Rav Kook, that is what is meant, Yesurim Shalahava, pains out of love. That means that Hashem gives you the pains because Hashem wants you to get to a higher level in order to serve him and get greater rewards at the service of Hashem and greater connection to Hashem at the higher level. The Gemara there continues, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says that Negoim Ubanim, that the afflictions and children, meaning if somebody's children die, this is not Yesurim Shalahava, this is not love pains, which means that when somebody has affliction, we definitely cannot attribute it to love pains. Therefore, these afflictions must be real pains because he did something wrong. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that when you get these afflictions, you know for sure you did something wrong. Comes out that when somebody has afflictions, clearly it's a message from Hashem that he did something wrong. Sefer Shemeresh continues and says that there are two types of sinners. There is one sinner who sins because, unfortunately, he cannot control his evil inclination. He tries to fight his evil inclination, but he knows that his evil inclination is too big. As Mefarshim explained, that the evil inclination is like fire, but unfortunately we are just like flesh. Then clearly the fire is going to burn the flesh. But even though he sins, he doesn't sin because he doesn't believe in Hashem and wants to rebel against Hashem. He just sins because he can't overcome his evil inclination. And right after he sins, he feels sorry for his sins, and he feels sorry for rebelling against Hashem and for doing what he did. And even though in this case his outwardly actions were totally against Hashem, he did what Hashem told not to do, nonetheless his insides, his pnimius, is still connected to Hashem, because he still feels sorry for what he did, and he only did it because he could not control his evil inclination. And then on the other hand, you have somebody who sins because he doesn't believe in Hashem. He doesn't believe that Torah comes from heaven. He doesn't believe in the system that Hashem established of rewards for mitzvahs and punishments for sins. And he does anything his heart desires. And whenever he does something wrong and he sins, then clearly it does not bother him because his insides are totally corrupted. And Sefer Shemeresh brings Rav Sadia Gaon, and I once heard it quoted in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe, that the verse that's written in the middle of the Teuchache, in the middle of the admonitions, in Dvarim chapter 28, verse number 47, where there it says, Tachas asher lo evalto, es Hashem lekecho besimcho uvetoiv leivav, that all this is coming to you because you did not serve Hashem with happiness and good heart. Rav Sadia Gaon asks, how is it possible that we should get punished so harshly just for not serving Hashem with happiness and good heart? Clearly, that cannot be the punishment, specifically when we know it's written that a person should serve Hashem shaloi lishma, even without the proper intent, shemetoich shaloi lishma bolishma, because if you continue serving Hashem without the proper intent, eventually you'll get to the proper intent. Then how is it possible that we should get such a harsh punishment as it's written in the admonitions just because we didn't do it with happiness? Therefore, Rav Sadia Gaon answers that the verse means to say that Tachas asher lo evalto es Hashem lekecho besimcha. The reason that you are punished is because when you did not serve Hashem, when you did asher lo evalto, then you did it besimcha. You were happy that you were not serving Hashem. You were rejoicing that you are not doing the will of Hashem. A person like that is the sinner of the second category that we just described, is the person that his inside is totally corrupted and is happy that he is rebelling against Hashem. So a person like that deserves the admonitions. Meaning, when you are not serving Hashem and you are besimcha v'toiv leivav, and you are rejoicing in your good heart, you feel good that you're not serving Hashem, in that case, Hashem will give you the admonitions. This echoes the idea that Rab Hirsch brings down in regards to the golden calf. Rab Hirsch asks a very strong question. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu already knew when he was on top of the mountain that the Jewish people did the golden calf, because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go down, because your nation has corrupted. Then Rav Hirsch asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu bother to take down the tablets and bring it down and break the tablets? Why didn't he leave the tablets up in heaven? Rav Hirsch answers that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that as soon as the Jewish people are going to see Moshe Rabbeinu, automatically they will repent and Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to prevail. The repentance should be complete, and then Moshe Rabbeinu is able to give them the tablets. But when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and saw what is written in chapter 32, verse number 19, where there it says, Vayikasher Korah v'lamachne, it was when Moshe Rabbeinu was approaching the encampment, Vayar es ha'egel, and he saw the golden calf, umecholos, and the dancers, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that not only did they do a golden calf, but they are dancing, they are rejoicing in front of them, then Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. Vayicharaf Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Vayashlach miyodoy esaluchos, then he broke down the tablets. Meaning, once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the people are rejoicing by not serving Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is a lost cause and these people are not worthy of receiving the Torah. Therefore, he broke the tablets. But originally, he thought that they only sinned because they have a Yetzer Hara. They have an evil inclination. But inside, they believe in Hashem and they are crying. But once he saw their dances, then Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he has no choice. He has to break the tablets. Sefer Shemeresh continues and says that the verse in Shir HaShirim, chapter 1, verse number 5, where it says, Shchoira ani, I am black, venava, but yet I'm beautiful. The Medrash says, Shchoira ani mibachutz, I am black outside, meaning outside I'm performing the sins. I'm doing what the Yetzer Hara tells me. But venava ani, but I'm still beautiful mibifnim. I'm still beautiful inside, meaning inside I still believe in Hashem. True that I transgressed Hashem's will, but I only did it because of my evil inclination. But my inside, my heart, it's still not corrupted. It's still beautiful because we still believe in Hashem and Hashem's Torah. And since we just finished the holiday of Purim, we could bring the Yaros Dvash in Chelek Aleph Drash Gimel, where the Yaros Dvash brings the Medrash Rabbe in Esther, Parsha Zion, Simon Ches, where there the Medrash Rabbe brings down that in the days of Haman, after the decree was given that the Jewish people should be annihilated, Eliyahu HaNavi came to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked that Moshe Rabbeinu pray for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Eliyahu, how was the decree signed? If the decree was signed betit, with mud, or it was signed bedam, with blood? And the Yaros Dvash asks, what kind of question is that of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the difference how the decree was signed? And plus, do they have mud or do they have blood in heaven? So what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Eliyahu Navi? The Yaros Dvash answers that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking how the decree was signed. If the decree against the Jewish people was signed because the Jewish people did the sin against the Choymer, against the physicality, against the mud, against our bodies, meaning that we sinned when we did the wrong actions, but inside, in our heart, we still believed in Hashem, we still believed in His Torah. If that is the situation, then Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he could still cancel the decree. But if the sin was done bedam, with our blood, and we know that the dam hua nefesh, the blood is the soul, the dam is the thought that we intended to go against Hashem, in that case, it is going to be very hard to cancel out this decree. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Eliyahu Navi, why was this decree given? If it was given betit, with mud, with our physicality, meaning we acted against Hashem, but inwardly we were okay, or it was done bedam, it was done with the blood, that even our insides were corrupted. In that case, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it's going to be very hard to cancel out the sin. And eventually Eliyahu HaNavi tells him that this decree was done betit with mud, meaning that we only sinned outwardly, but inwardly we believe in Hashem. And we could say that this is really what the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph 12a says. There the Gemara says that the students asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why did the generation of Haman deserve to be destroyed? Meaning, why did they get such a harsh decree of exterminating all of them? And the Gemara there says that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tells them that the reason is because they bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Then the students asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, if that is true, then why in fact didn't Hashem kill them all? Why did Hashem show favoritism and cancel the decree in that case? So Rabbi Shimon ben Choi answers, Heim lo yasu elu lefanim. The Jewish people only did the sin outwardly, meaning inwardly they believed in Hashem, but outwardly they feared Nebuchadnezzar, therefore they bowed down to the idol, but they didn't have an inner conviction. Their pnim was still connected to Hashem. Therefore, Hashem also, when He acted, when He scared them, only acted outwardly, meaning Hashem only made the decree outside that the Jewish people will be afraid of the decree, but inside, inwardly, Hashem never meant to follow through in the decree. Hashem never wanted to destroy the Jewish people, because Hashem knew that their insides are still okay. If their insides are still okay and they believe in Hashem, then Hashem doesn't want to destroy them. But nonetheless, since they acted outwardly in a bad fashion, therefore Hashem outwardly acted against the Jew in a bad fashion, that Hashem scared us literally to death in order for us to repent and change our ways. And Me'inyan Le'inyan for Purim, we're going to Pesach. Sefer Shemeroish brings the pasuk in Parshas Boi, Shmos, chapter 12, verse number 26, where the verse says, Vayuk yoimri aleichem b'neichem. It will be when your children will tell you, Ma ha'avoda azois lachem, what is this work to you? Then on verse 27 it says, V'amartem, you should say, Zevach Pesach ul Hashem, that this is a Pesach feast for Hashem, Asher Pesach al botei bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, that Hashem jumped over the houses of the Jewish people in Egypt, Benokfoyas Mitzrayim, when He gave the plague of the firstborn to the Egyptian, Vezboteinu Hitzil, and our houses He saved. Sefer Shemeroish asks that the verse, Vezboteinu Hitzil, that our houses He saved, that is the wrong thing to mention. The Torah should have mentioned, Vezboneinu, and our children Hitzil He saved, meaning that Hashem killed all the firstborns of the Egyptians, and yet our children, the Jewish children, He saved. Why is that more proper? Because Rashi, on chapter 12, verse number 13, where there the verse says, V'hoyo hadom lochem le'ois, and the blood is going to be for you a sign, alabotim, over the houses, asher atem sham, that you are there, veroisi es adom, and I will see the blood, ufosachti aleichem, and I will jump over you, veloie vochem negev lemashchis, and there won't be on you a plague of destruction, bakoisi es Mitzrayim, when I smite the Egyptians. Meaning, the Hashem is telling you that if you put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, I will see the blood and I'll jump over you, and there won't be any plague when I smite the Egyptians. Rashi says, what does it mean, Veloiye vochem negev, that you are not going to get any plagues, meaning the Jewish people aren't going to get any plagues, Rashi says, but the Egyptians are going to get plagues. So Rashi explains, let's say a firstborn Egyptian was hiding in the house of a Jew, and that house had the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. I would have thought that this Egyptian would be saved. The verse says, that you are not going to get a plague, meaning the Jewish person is not going to get a plague, but the Egyptian is going to get a plague. And let's say the opposite. A firstborn Jew was in the house of an Egyptian which was unprotected by the blood. I would have thought that in that case, that firstborn Jew will die. Therefore, the Torah tells you, V'loyeh vochem negev, that you are not going to get any plague. Comes out that regardless of the house, it all depended if the person was a Jew or the person was an Egyptian. Then why is it written here, V'ezboteinu hitzil, that Hashem saved our houses? What has got to do with the houses? The houses is totally irrelevant. What is relevant is if the person was a Jew or he was an Egyptian. If he was a Jew, then he was saved. And if he was Egyptian, he was killed. Then Sefer Shemeroish asks, why is it written here, Vezboteinu Hitzil, that you saved our houses? Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer this question based on the famous Arizal, which the Arizal says on verse chapter 12, verse 39, where there it says, That the Jewish people baked the dough that they took out of Egypt. Ugois matzes, cakes of matzes, kiloi chomes, because it could not have time to leaven. Kigorishu me Mitzrayim, because they were expelled from Egypt. Velo yachru leismameya, and they could not delay. Vegam tzeido losolohem, and they didn't make provisions for themselves. The Arizal says that the verse v'lo yachul ismameya, that they couldn't delay. The Arizal explains the reason they could not delay is because at this point the Jewish people were in the 49th level of impurity, meaning there are 50 levels of impurity. And unfortunately, the Jewish people in Egypt stooped to such a low level that they were now in the 49th level of impurity, and had they stayed a moment longer, then they would have fallen in the 50th level of impurity, and from that level it is very hard to escape. There is no easy way for them to be redeemed. Therefore Hashem made them be kicked out quickly, that they should not delay in order for them not to fall in the 50th level of impurity. And Sefer Shemeroj brings the drashas in Lechem Shleima in Drash Kuf Nun Tes, where there he brings the Al Shech HaKudosh in Parshas Boy, where the Al Shech HaKudosh has a contradiction in the Chazal, in what is quoted by the rabbis, because in one place, in Yalkut, in Hosea, Tov Kuf Yud Tes, the Yalkut there says that the only reason that we were redeemed from Egypt is Bishus Emuna Nigalu, is only because we had complete trust in Hashem. And that is what merited us to being redeemed in Egypt. And yet, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Boy, Parshat Tes Zion, Simon Beis, brings on the verse that's written, Shmos Yud Beis, verse number 21, where there it says, Vayikra Moshe lechol zikne Yisrael, Moshe called to all the elders of Israel, Vayomer aleihem, he told them, Mishchu, draw forth, ukhulochem tzoyle mishpechoy seichem, and take for you a sheep to each family, v'shacha to a Pesach, and slaughter the Passover offering. The Midrash says, mishchu ukhulochem, that you should draw forth. The Midrash says, what does it mean, draw forth? Kloimar, mishchu yadeichem mevoides kechavim, you should draw forth from idolatry, and bring for Hashem an offering. Which clearly implies that the Jewish people were doing idolatry in Egypt. If that is so, then the Al-Sheikh asks, how can the Midrash in Hosea say that the Jewish people were redeemed because they had emunah, they had trust in Hashem, when clearly the Midrash says that the Jewish people were idolaters? And the Al-Sheikh says that there is no contradiction whatsoever. The Al-Sheikh explains that in truth, even though the Jewish people were huge sinners in Egypt, nonetheless, they had one thing that they did not sin, which means their heart was still connected totally to Hashem. Their soul did not get corrupted. And even though they were in the house of idolatry, and they did the idolatry, that is because either they were mistaken or they were forced. But nonetheless, even though they did the idolatry, their heart was paining them that they have to do it. And they were always kvetching to Hashem that they have to do it. As a matter of fact, even though the Al-Sheikh doesn't bring this, but there's a Yalkut in Beshalach, in Remez, Reish Lamed Dalet, the Yalkut brings that the Samach Mem came in front of Hashem and complained to Hashem and said, Halalu Ovda Voidezore, Vehalalu Ovda Voidezore, that the Egyptians did idolatry and the Jewish people did idolatry, then why are you making such miracles for the Jewish people? The Jewish people are just as guilty as the Egyptians. And the Midrash there says, Miyad Heishiv Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answered the Samach Mem and said, Shoyto Sheb Oilam, fool of the world, V'chila Datam of Diu, did the Jewish people do the idolatry on their own? V'aloi Lo Avdu Elo Mitach Shibut, they only did it because they were subjugated, meaning they were forced to do the idolatry. Mitach tiruv das, because their mind wasn't completely sane. V'ato don shoyger kemaizit, and you want to judge somebody who made a mistake as somebody who did on purpose, meaning the Egyptians did the idolatry on purpose, yet the Jewish people did it only by mistake. V'oynes kerotzen, and you want to judge somebody who was forced to do idolatry as somebody who did idolatry willingly, meaning the Egyptians did it willingly, but the Jewish people did it forcibly, then how can you compare? So we see clearly from this Medrash that the Medrash says that the Jewish people, when they did idolatry, they did it either by mistake or did it forcibly. Then clearly the heart of the Jewish people were with Hashem. Then according to this, the Alshach fits very well, because the Alshach says that the Jewish people, when they did idolatry, they always thought about Hashem. True, that they did the sin outwardly, but inwardly they believed in Hashem. And this Machmoyshe adds to this Alshach, and this Machmoyshe says that when it's written in the verse in Tehillim, Kof Lamed Vav, 136, verse number 14, where there it says, Vehavir Israel Besoichoy, Hashem who made the Jewish people pass Besoichoy inside the sea, Ki Le'olam Chazoy, that forever is His kindness, that is the normal interpretation, but the Yismach Moshe plays with the words, and he explains that when Hashem crossed the sea, Hashem is telling you the reason why the Jewish people were safe. Vehever Israel, Hashem made the Jewish people pass the sea because besoichoy, because Hashem saw in their innards, Hashem saw that their inside is pure, that they are still connected to Hashem, they still feel bad when they did the idolatry, and even though they sinned, nonetheless, since their inside is still pure, therefore Hashem saved them, and therefore Ki Le'olam Chazdoy, therefore forever is His kindness. Sefer Shemeroy says that in order to reconcile this idea of the Alshach, if the idea of the Arizal, that we were already in the 49th level of impurity, we must say that the 49th level of impurity is still when we act in a bad way. But still, our nefesh, our soul, is still connected to Hashem. But when you are in the 50th level, that means that you are totally corrupted, and that means that your neshama, your nefesh, is not connected to Hashem anymore. And therefore, Hashem saved us because we were still connected to Hashem. We're still in the 49th level. But the 50th level is a level where you deny Hashem's existence, where your soul is totally corrupted. And Sefer Shemeresh explains the same way that in a house we have the outside walls and we have the inner chambers, the inner rooms, so too is in a body of a person, the person is made of chomer, is made of matter, that he also has an outside wall and he also has inner chambers. As it's written in the verse in Mishle, chapter 20, verse number 27, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the candle of Hashem is the soul of a person, Choifes Kol Chadrei Baten, he's searching all the inner parts of the belly. So we see that there is rooms inside the body. Furthermore, says Sefer Shemeroish, that the word Hitzil normally means saved, but the word Hitzil could also mean separated. And it brings the proof from Bereshis chapter 31, verse number 9, where there Yaakov is describing how Hashem separated the sheep of Lavan for him. There it says, Vayatzel Likimes Mikna Avichem, that Hashem separated the sheep of your father, Vayiten Li, and gave to me. So we see that the word Hitzil could be sometimes translated as separated. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish translates, that is exactly what is written now in the verse. The verse says, that Vamartam, you should say, Zevach Pesach Ul Hashem, this is a Pesach offering to Hashem, Asher Pasach Abot Ebnei Yisrael BeMitzrayim, that he jumped over the houses of the Jewish people in Egypt, Ben Nokfoy Es Mitzrayim, when he gave the plagues on the Egyptian, Ves Boteinu, and our houses, Hitzil, he separated. Meaning, that Hashem separated our houses. Hashem saw that we sinned outwardly, but inwardly, we were clean, we were connected to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem saved us. It is not telling you who Hashem saved. Here it's telling the reason why Hashem saved. Hashem saved because of Esboteinu Hitzil. Hashem separated our houses. Hashem separated our actions outside from what we felt inside. And therefore, Hashem saw our neshama and saw that our neshama is still connected to Him. Therefore, Hashem redeemed us. So here, it's not telling you that Hashem saved the children. Hashem separated our boteinu, our houses, our outside, which is the actions, and our inside, which is our thoughts, which is our soul. And Hashem saved us because Hashem saw how inside we were pure. According to this Sefer Shemeroish, I wanted to answer that now you understand why Hashem made us put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Meaning, since we see clearly that this has no influence in whom Hashem saves, because if the Jewish child was an Egyptian house and that didn't have blood, nonetheless Hashem saved them. So what is the purpose of pouring the blood on the doorpost? And the answer is because Hashem wanted you to know that the reason Hashem is saving you is because of your blood. As we mentioned before, the blood means the innards, because as we mentioned by the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he asked if it was sealed on teeth, on mud, or it was sealed with blood, then we mentioned that the blood means that our nefesh, if our nefesh was corrupted. According to this, we understand now why we have to put the blood on the doorpost. Because Hashem wanted to emphasize for us the reason why we were saved. And furthermore, according to what Sefer Shemeroish says, the verse on chapter 12, verse number 13, fits very beautifully. Because there it says, V'hoyo ha'dam, there'll be the blood, lochem le'ois alabatim, to you a sign on the houses. The word hadam is numerical value 49. The hay is 5, the dalet is 4, the mem is 40. Which means, v'hoyo ha'dam, the fact that you only are in the 49th level, that will be the sign alabatim on the houses. Asha'atem shom, you are there. Veroisias adam, I will see that you are still in the level 49, which means that you didn't corrupt yet your soul. Then, fosachti aleichem, then I will jump over you, and then you won't have a plague. So the word hadam, since it's numerical 49, fits very well what Sefer Shemeroish explained, that the level 50 is the level where your soul is corrupted. So Hashem only saved us because He saw Hadam, He saw the blood, He saw our blood is pure, and He saw that we are only in the level of 49, and we didn't corrupt our soul, therefore Hashem saved us. According to this, we could now answer the questions that it bothered us in the beginning of the Shiur. The verse says in our parsha, it says, Adam ki iya be'or besor, a person who will have in the skin of his flesh, se'ez oy sapachas oy baheres, these afflictions of se'ez sapachas or baheres, v'hoyo be'or besoroy, it will be in the skin of his flesh, a nega tzoras for a tzoras affliction. And it's specifically written the word v'hoyo, which connotes simcha, happiness, and it's not written v'yehi, which connotes pain, because we're talking about a person who is totally corrupted, a person who, even when he gets this tzoras, is still besimcha, even when Hashem gives him the hint that he's doing something bad, because clearly tzoras only comes when you do a sin, as Rabbi Yochanan explains, that this is not yisurim shel ahava, it's not pains of love, this is really pains because you sins, and yet you are besimcha, you don't care what is happening. In that case, you should be brought to the Kohen, and should be brought to one of the Kohanim, and the Kohen is going to look at the nega in the skin of his flesh, and the hair in the blemish turned white, umare hanega, and the appearance of this blemish, omoik mor besoroi, is deeper than the flesh of his skin, then the Kohen should contaminate him. Which means that when the Kohen is going to see that this person's sins, it's not only in his exteriors, it's not only at the skin of his flesh, it's deeper than the skin of his flesh, that means that his problem is really deeper, that means that his problem is a problem that's affecting his soul. It's not only by his actions that his soul is being contaminated also because he's besimcha, that he's getting this pain. It doesn't even bother him that he sinned. He's still happy. A person like that, that's completely heretical, that the blemish is deeper than the skin, it affects his soul, that means that he's a heretic. And when somebody is such a heretic, he's definitely tameh, he's definitely contaminated. But the problem is that a person like that, it's very hard to come back to Hashem. As the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a says, Kol ha-poyrish miminois, that anybody who separates himself from a heresy, mayas, will die. Meaning that if he's completely involved in heresy, totally doesn't believe in Hashem, and he wants to repent, then automatically, during his repentance, Hashem will cause him, unfortunately. So what does Hashem do to help this person in order to be able to repent and survive? Hashem makes him a metzora, and the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis 64b says, Tanya, we learned, Arba Chashuvim Kemes, four people are considered as they are dead. Ani, somebody who is poor, lost his money, then he's considered as dead. Umetzoire, somebody who has this affliction. Vesuma, somebody who is blind. Umishe ein loibonim, and somebody who doesn't have any children. That means that all these people are considered as they are dead. And as I mentioned, one of them is a metzoire. And Mefarshim explain why is a metzoire considered as he was dead. And Mefarshim explained that the reason is that since the law of Metzora requires him to stay outside the encampment by himself, then because of that, he is inconsequential and he is considered dead. That means that Hashem, in his great kindness, because Hashem wants this person to repent, and yet Hashem doesn't want him to die through his repentance, Hashem makes it that he becomes a Metzora. If he becomes a Metzora, he has to go outside the encampment. Automatically, he is considered as he died. Automatically, now his repentance will be successful. So the fact that Hashem tells his Metzora to be alone outside the encampment is in order to consider him dead. Once he's considered dead, even though his blemish is deeper than the flesh, his blemish is a spiritual blemish, he'll be able to heal from this blemish through repentance, and like that he'll be able to survive. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all repent, we'll marry to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.